Welcome to Life and Sirens, Behind and On the Scene, a podcast by first responders. We're your hosts, Sophie,
Jamie,
and Aubrey.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policies or positions of any medical institutions, emergency medical services, or healthcare organizations. Patient privacy is a top priority, and all discussions involving real-world emergency situations are de-identified and altered to ensure confidentiality. Always consult with a qualified healthcare professional or your local EMS protocols before making any decisions regarding patient care or medical practices. Listener discretion is advised, as some topics may include discussions of real-world emergency situations.
Episode of Life and Sirens. I'm very excited to report that we made it back from Kentucky, where we attended Flightbridge ED's Fast 25. It was in Lexington, Jamie's hometown.
Oh yeah.
So we got to visit Jamie's parents.
Yeah, we got to go hang out with my mom and my dad.
Yeah, how are you doing without George for all this time?
George is her dog,
by the way.
They have my dog George, because we're at Fast 25 and then are going to the beach. And so George Boy had to stay with mom and dad, and I am having a hard time. They are having a great time.
I'm sure they are. I mean, he's delightful.
Yes, I FaceTimed my mother today and made her show me George, and he was having a wonderful time. He's just been following my father around, who just occasionally will pat him on the head.
I love that.
Yeah, nobody is smothering him with too much love, which he is probably enjoying quite a bit, because I spent a lot of time with my face on his face. So, yeah. Short story long, I'm missing George.
Yeah, I can imagine. George is pretty special. Anyway, let's get back to it. So, Flightbridge ED's Fast 25 is a critical care conference. This was actually our first time attending, and we were lucky enough to be part of a group of creators who attended, and those may include, but are not limited to, because there were others there that weren't actually part of, like, the burnt ones, which we'll get into in a second. So, Jimmy Apple, Ashlyn Odell, Spencer and Chris from EMS 2020. What else did we have? Alert Shay. Medic 1 was there. They were not participating in the burnt ones, but yes, Flight Nurse Shay was there. We love Flight Nurse Shay. She's our pal. Yeah, there were some other creators that were
Ross.
Invited.
Loud and Clear.
Loud and Clear.
Ross from Loud and Clear. There were some other creators like Hensley, Nurse Hens on TikTok. She was unable to come because she is preparing for her nurse prac boards.
Ooh, so get it.
She was doing some pretty important things. But we also had a creator fest the night before the conference started, and it was called The Burnt Ones. This was Jimmy's, or EMS Avenger. It was his brainchild, and he decided that we were going to do an EMS rendition of The Hot Ones, which is essentially where you eat hot wings that get progressively hotter, and you have to answer interview questions. And it was quite interesting, to say the least.
It was quite interesting. Yeah. I needed a lot of tissues. I needed a lot of chocolate milk. But it was very fun.
We did. Milk was delicious. I have a fear of meats with bone in them.
Yeah.
And so my brain immediately was like, we're going to do some spicy chicken nuggies. And I thought I could handle that. However, then I got to where I had to choose. Actually, I didn't even choose. I had both of them just at my ready between flats and what do you call
drums?
Drums, yeah.
Flats and drums. And that was upsetting. And they were very hot.
Yeah.
But, like, I think good chicken? Not sure. Anyway, it was real spicy.
It was good chicken, I think.
I think so.
It was just very saucy. I was like, who tossed these bad boys?
It was very saucy.
Yeah.
They did us a little dirty on that,
Chris,
but that's
and
okay.
Sarah sauced it.
We all made it, but then James started just snacking.
Listen, I was not giving up. I was not about to give up.
I gave up.
These boys were just down there just being like, this isn't even hot. I don't even need anything.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm not giving up. Turns out I double lost anyway because some of these boys were eating these wings without milk.
Yeah.
They didn't even drink any milk. And I was like, okay, well, y'all could have just told me.
My belly was so full on milk, honestly. Like, I was like, you had to eat two of each heat intensity.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
That was too many wings.
Yeah, so. And we did five rounds, right?
Yeah. So 10 wings. That's a lot of wings. I don't eat 10 wings.
Just make me drink the hot sauce or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take little shots.
Anyway, so we did that.
That was great. And then we got to speak to a lot of you all and meet some new people. And it was great. We hung out for quite a while. And honestly, a lot of you knew us that I weren't expecting. Like, more people recognized us, which is saying a lot about your dedication to the show, because you can't see our faces.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we are not good at the video.
No. So we're working on it. I'm actually loading something right now.
We're trying. There is a video on our YouTube now.
Yeah. We have a couple.
We got some.
There's some videos.
We're working on it, okay? We're just like... Someone thought we had been doing this for 2 years. We've been doing this for how long? Not a year yet, but you guys have really made this something, because we are getting the views, and we appreciate your support. But if you would like to see our faces, head to our socials.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's head into the event. So the conference was absolutely incredible. I would say that it was comparable to like a TED Talk, but for critical care.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that.
I loved how all the lectures were only 20 minutes.
Yes.
It was so fun because all of the speakers just were like, obviously they knew that they only had 20 minutes. So they were just like pumped up, really getting as much information out as they possibly could in that 20 minutes. And it was like watching a TED Talk. Like, that's how hyped they were. That's how much information you were able to gather. And also super ADHD friendly because it was only 20 minutes. Like,
absolutely.
That was the best part.
And all of these speakers that they were able to get there are like... the founding fathers of their fields.
Yes, they're
all very well known for like specific content.
Yeah.
And so listening to them give their like keynote speeches in 20 minutes was very, very fun.
Incredible.
And Fast 25 fed us.
This was like no other conference.
Yeah.
I know this is like not what we're here to talk about, but it absolutely is exactly what we're here to talk about. They fed everyone breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And lunch.
Yep.
And an afternoon snack.
Yeah.
And
they had a social.
Yeah, during the burnt ones, everybody could get drinks, like adult drinks.
Yeah, like twisty drinks.
And then they had a social the first night of the conference, conference, and everyone got 2 adult drink tickets. Plus, they fed us at that.
Like some bomb, like appetizers. Good.
Yes, it was insane.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Sliders and... stuffed mushroom. Yeah. It was amazing.
They really stayed feeding us, which was cool. And like the morning time was like breakfast and fruit and coffee.
Donuts.
And then during lunch there was like waters and like seltzer water and
tea.
Yeah, they just did a really impressive job.
I know.
And for the cost of this conference.
Yeah, impressive. It's very, very cost effective.
Oh yeah.
It
definitely do it on an EMS budget. And not only is it cost-effective, they feed you a bunch of meals, but it's also awesome because there's no, like, breakout sessions, so you get to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
You get to absolutely see everything, and all the content, yes, it's a critical care conference, but they do such a good job because they're so, like, there's such pros in it that they can break it down enough for, there was even, like, EMT students and paramedic students who had not graduated yet, who were able to attend and enjoy and learn and participate, and it was awesome.
Yeah, and they were all, every speaker was really cool afterwards. They were like, I know that was only 20 minutes, so come find me and we'll chat. And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, they were all very approachable. So the first speaker they'll talk about is Rich Levitan, which if you have ever seen the picture of a obese woman stacked up on like 1,200 blankets so that she has ear distal notch.
Yeah.
That is Rich Levitan.
Yeah.
Ear distal notch. No DSAT. O's up the nose.
It's his religion.
That is it. And his 20 minute. Well, he was keynote. So was he the first hour?
He is the keynote. Yeah.
I think he was an hour. Yeah.
Was he an hour? But it was fantastic because it was all airway management.
Yeah. Bougie first. Mm-hmm. And that's my love language. That's my love language. I recently just posted something. Using a bougie is not cheating. Thank you very much. Thanks. That's my TED Talk. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Also, is there such thing as like cheating in airway? Like what gets the airway on the first pass?
Yes. That's like a soapbox for me too.
Ooh, y'all. Who was the guy? I don't remember if this was Dr. Levitan or not. But they talked about how there was such an emphasis on first pass that they actually had like profound numbers of like desaturation because people weren't pulling out of the airway because they had to get it on the first try.
Yeah.
And that then they had to basically like reframe that to be like the most responsible first attempt. And basically people would talk about their first pass statistics and they would be like, oh, well, we're like 99% first pass. And he was like, lies. You're all lying to each
other. Yeah, he was like, that is just not possible. It's impossible, I think he said.
Yes, he said that's physically impossible. And he was talking about how they were having medics that were reporting first pass success. But when they would go back and they would look at their patient's desaturation and like basically all the metrics, it was actually a terrible innovation.
Yes.
But they did get it on the first try, but it's because they never pulled out of the airway when they should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just, that to me just stuck really hard because we see medics all the time who are super stubborn, who just will not back out of the airway. And you have to be like, hey, get out.
Yes. That's ego. That is ego right there.
And that was like the statistic of ego is that like, technically you're right. You're 99% first pass, except for your patients are still hypoxic.
Yes. And if you're service or your educators are pressing you for first attempt pass rate and they're like upset that they read your run report and you documented, I made two attempts, first one maybe, you know, you used a stylet. We all make that mistake. I'm kidding. It's okay if you use a stylet, but I just prefer a bougie because it works. Okay. But like, I know educators who are, like, hard-pressed on, like, if you're not getting it on the first attempt, then you suck.
Right.
I'm like, calm down. Every airway is different.
Also, what was that airway that you had that the guy's epiglottis was basically, like, a bat cave?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yes.
It was oversized. It was floppy. It came down like curtains on the side. Like, it was just wild. And when you first enter that airway, if you think you're going to get that on your first attempt, having no idea that that's what's in there.
Yeah, that's an unsettling surprise. No,
but he did not become hypoxic because obviously did no DSAT and pulled out and reventilated him and did all the things. Yes. And so like hypoxia was not an issue. So to go back in to reevaluate and get it on your second attempt is perfectly appropriate.
Yeah. Yes. More educators need to hear that.
Yeah. And I like the lesson that we shouldn't just be making 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 attempts on someone's airway because the more attempts, the more trauma. Like, there is evidence.
That's also ego.
Yes. There is evidence that first attempt, best attempt.
Yeah.
You know, it's the least trauma on the airway. But if you have to, just rule number one, make sure they don't get hypoxic. That's it. That's all we're doing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of the point.
Honestly, at the very least, you had to pull that laryngoscope out of their mouth and report back to your partner and be like, you're never going to believe what I just saw.
Absolutely.
That is exactly what we did.
Want to look?
Yeah.
He also talked about how providers will be like, one attempt, two attempt, your turn.
Yeah.
And we pass it off. Like, it's the only, he compared it to like the military and how it is the only like first responder agency where they're like, I couldn't do it. Now you, similarly trained human, you try. Like, that doesn't happen in, like, the military and in fire and in police. It's not like, oh,
you my couldn't scope's take not him quite down right.
You know? Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
I think that is interesting. Because you visualize the airway the most times. If you're, unfortunately, on a third attempt and you have to get the airway, like, you've seen it. You just got to change something and adjust every time that you make a new attempt.
Yeah. Or call it and say, like, let's put it in.
Yeah, let's put an adjunct in.
Yeah.
That's not a failed airway. I believe that firmly, that if you put in like an LMA, an eye gel, or a King or something like that's, we call that a failed airway, and I just don't think that's fair.
Are they still being oxygenated?
Yes.
Is it still protected? I think that instead of calling it a failed airway, there should be a definitive airway.
Yeah.
And then there should be an airway.
Alternate airway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Backup airway.
This is your plan B.
Yeah. This
it's
is
not
an
a
alternate.
Failure.
Because when we call it things like that, a failed airway,
it's stigma.
People just get hypoxic and die.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really jumped the gun today too. It just made me think about it. We can start over.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. We heard from Dr. Peter Antevi, which
big fan. Big,
big fan. This man always has a lot to say.
And he had great stuff.
We made one post one time about color coded. Length-based tapes, and everyone jumped down our throat and beat us with his name.
Yes, yeah. They were like, if you aren't using Hantevi, then you can get out.
Yeah. We're not all fortunate enough to have access.
Yes, but they were like hitting us with his app, and then we listened to him talk, and I was like, oh, I get it.
I get it, but
Still expensive.
Yep. Right. Yeah, and he had a big emphasis on, like, just because, and I loved this so much, he said, we don't need to be worried about how the ER is doing something, how the ICU is doing something. We need to worry about how we have to do it in EMS because there's nothing comparable. We mm-hmm. might just have to adjust just because there's been studies done in ICU settings or ER settings does mm-hmm. not mean that we immediately have to jump on those because yes. it's just not the same thing.
And yeah, I
it's
love
not always applicable.
Such a standard or not standard, such a tangible example of that is the mechanical device CPR. Yeah.
Yes, I like that he brought that up too.
Yes, because people will look at studies that are done with like Lucas devices and they're like, oh, well, it's basically a moot point.
Yeah.
Like human CPR and mechanical CPR, it's actually like not any better, sometimes almost a little worse. And I'm like, ugh.
We don't have unlimited people to rotate out yes, compressions.
That is true in a stationary controlled environment. Yeah. With a like onset of providers.
Yes.
In a large room.
Yep. And with a lot of space. That's totally true. You can switch out every 2 minutes. It's very yeah. controlled. But when you are in someone's bathroom or teeny tiny apartment and maybe you're the only medic, you have an AEMT, maybe you just have an EMT basic, and then you have first responders that are like so your volunteer fire department comes and you're trying to tell me that the mental load that it takes
yeah.
to coach somebody through appropriate CPR that maybe has never done it versus putting a Lucas device on and being able to ensure that it is the same and it is consistent every single time. Like that yeah. is statistically better.
And you know what we just talked about? It's not cheating. What is it called? It's called cognitive offload, mm-hmm. which matters. And it's important, especially when you're pretty much a one or two man show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it makes a difference. So
for sure. And if your argument, if you have an argument that is basically like, we don't need them, it's better to just do it with people. Go work in a rural service where it's just you and your partner and then tell me you don't need them.
The hardest things I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of the time people that make that argument work in an ER.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or they work in a facility.
Or they don't work in yeah. patient care at all.
Yep. And so I liked that so much. He also made a list and was like, these are all the things we should have.
Yeah.
These are all the things we should be taking away.
Ooh, what do we want to take away? Bicarbonate.
Yeah.
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 We actually got that out of it's not in our protocols anymore. There's a place, mm-hmm. but it's not like you don't just give it everybody who
it's
dies.
It's very small.
Bicarb.
He did great. And him and Dr. Jeff Jarvis have a really fantastic rapport
it
in that
cute.
They just make fun of each other a lot and it's yes. very cute. But it's like with yes. love. So what did Jeff Jarvis tell us about?
Jeff Jarvis basically said in 2 years. I think he gave a pretty tight timeline.
Yeah.
In 2 years, everybody will carry blood pre-hospitally.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's insane, though.
I would love to see how this man makes it happen.
Please do it, Jeff.
For sure. He basically said that, like, if you're a pre-hospital service, with the understanding that there are, like, logistical constraints and things like that, but he outlined how actually affordable it is. Mm-hmm. And that if we're not doing it, you're essentially doing your population a disservice. Like, yep. you're killing them. Yep. And I was like, that is bold, but also I like it.
Also correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, Michael Loria spoke, which is the medical director for FlightBridge, Ed. And he talked about cardiogenic shock. And I think that the biggest takeaway that I had from this lecture was he broke out a chart that kind of outlined it in stages. So, basically, he has this chart that is really specifically tailored to pre-hospital because it's just kind of like a down and dirty recognition of cardiogenic shock and recognition of what stage you're in, right? So we kind of always think of this as like compensated, decompensated, dead. But, you know, and that one's never great.
Yeah.
But when you first, one of his points was always have cardiogenic shock on the table. Like, always have that in the back of your mind, one of your differentials. And then this chart kind of outlined being able to break down where you're at in that process and hopefully being able to intervene once you kind of figure that out. So basically the chart goes from at risk to beginning to classic to deteriorating to extremis. And obviously extremis is what we would think of as like decompensated, peri-arrest sort of situation. But yeah, his talk was super good. I thought you were able to take out a lot of practical tips yeah. from him. And then William Hauser spoke.
We love this man.
We do love
honestly,
this man.
Honestly, he's so cool. So William Hauser is a pharmacist, or a paramedic turned pharmacist, I should say. Mm-hmm. And he's so entertaining. It doesn't matter what he's talking about. When he talks about, like, intense clinical pharmacology, which is inherently very dry and very boring, and he is not that.
No, he is so excited. He, like, bings around the stage, like, bounces around like a ticker.
Oh, yeah, he loves it.
And has an absolute blast. And if you mention ketamine around this man, he will, like, high-five you.
Honestly, he might marry you.
He might.
Absolutely. And he can tell you every single thing that ketamine would be, like, useful for and the exact mechanism of how, unless it has been unidentified by science.
And you'll be very entertained while he's doing so.
And yes. He will make it make sense.
He will. And in a world where everybody's turning on ketamine, we need a William Hauser.
Absolutely. Sure do, that's a sticker right there. I think I enjoy his talk so much because, you know, when you're in medic school and you're trying to learn a really difficult concept and somebody will paint it to you in a way that is just like so stupid. They'll be like, bro, you have a shoe, you tie the shoe.
Like, fold in the cheese.
And you're like, fold it in.
Fold in the cheese.
Fold it in. Like, it finally makes sense to you, and he will explain very complicated pharmaceutical concepts like that.
Yeah. And he's so excited about it, so it makes it really entertaining to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Watching people just be passionate about things is, like, my favorite thing. Like, I don't care what you're talking to me about. You could be talking to me about literal cheese, and if you are passionate about it, I will sit here
I'm
and
excited
all day.
With you. Yeah.
Yes, let's be. Yes. Tell me about that Swiss.
And speaking of passion, there's a man who talked named Preston Fedor,
Preston.
Who works for Tesla and SpaceX.
He had really cool glasses on.
He did.
Yes, and operational EMS. So basically, he gave us a whole presentation like we were EMS on the moon.
It was good.
And I'm still at this minute. I do not know what point of his presentation was satire and what was legitimate.
Yeah, he was pretty dry, but it was like funny. Yeah,
like
yeah.
We're talking about like airlocks and like legitimately space medicine, but I'm just not sure what part was like facetious and what part was like no, we do this.
And I think that was his whole vibe.
Yeah. He was very entertaining.
It was great.
There was no break scene. I think he just walked off the stage and continued to just talk that way for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I think that is fantastic.
Interstellar medicine.
Yes.
Oh, -1A, Bill Hinckley. So the first past attempt, the presentation was done by Bill Hinckley, and it's the concept of -1A, which stands for definitive airway sans hypoxia or hypotension on first attempt. And they started measuring -1A criteria instead of first pass criteria, and they found that people actually were doing poorly on their first attempts because they were just trying to make sure they didn't have any subsequent attempts. They weren't actually trying to make sure that their patient was well oxygenated and was not hypotensive. And so he passed this criteria, and now like so many programs use it. It's like the national standard at this point.
Chris Fingstein did a great talk about, he kind of gave a real life example of when he was in middle management for a ground EMS service and kind of broke that down into why he hates the term middle management, because that's what he felt like he was a middle manager, and he was good at numbers but not good at the people side.
He basically tells a story of how he really effectively managed a bunch of ground assets in a day. It was just a disaster from one turn to the next. He's fielding phone calls. He manages all of these ground assets. He gets everybody covered where they need to be. And he does a really great job for the company. But every crew on every single one of those trucks was basically getting screwed. Like they were getting held over late. Like they were just getting pushed around. And nobody on those trucks probably felt great that day. But as far as being a middle manager, he was fantastic. And then there was an employee that essentially was like, I'll work for anybody but him. And he didn't realize that that was kind of like a reputation that he had, that people didn't want to be on his shift. And he changed like everything about how he supervises. And he decided that he wanted to call it like frontline support and not middle management, because that's really what you're there for. And if you have to manage things a little less effectively to support your people, that's probably a better idea.
It matters.
And that was pretty cool.
After him, we had Bruce Hoffman.
Oh, I love Bruce.
Sweet Brucey Bruce.
We love Bruce so much.
And he did a fantastic talk on metabolic acidosis. And never in my life have I heard anybody break it down as clearly and as concisely as Bruce did. And I mean, there was not a
second. In 20 minutes.
Yes. There was not a second wasted from his talk. And it was fantastic. I came into that conference not knowing that I didn't understand non-ion gap metabolic acidosis. And I left that conference knowing about it. So fantastic.
We talked about this in our YouTube video that we put out after the conference. Mm-hmm. And I think that we all say, like, acid-base, it's so hard to understand, it's so complicated, it is complicated, but it's so, like, it's just...
impossible.
Incomprehensible, but I just think the wrong people are teaching it, and they don't, like, the speakers that we got to, we had the privilege of listening to, are all absolute experts. They are the expert on the topic. And Bruce absolutely is an expert in this. He is definitely his special interest.
For sure.
And he owns it. And I think when you know something that well, you can break it down in a way that anybody could understand it.
For sure. And you can ask him questions to like any extent. And he's can bring it back in a way that makes sense.
And he is the most down-to-earth, chill, lovely, just...
precious human.
I could literally do a whole podcast.
Yeah, he's just generally like a very pleasant and kind and well-meaning
very
human
approachable
being. Absolutely. But he showed me where the gap was and I'm thrilled. Shay.
Ooh, Shay.
Flight nurse Shay.
Lovely. Just spectacular human as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like a salt of the earth human. She did a talk on, it's called Room for Error, Mitigate the Inevitable. And she tells like a really, we talked about this on our YouTube video too, but she tells a really like personable and vulnerable story about how she was kind of complacent in her routine and that sometimes when you form habits, they're not always super beneficial. Yeah. And they ended up not having some equipment for a flight that they needed and it did not go well. And so she tells that story and basically goes through the science of building habits and why sometimes it can be beneficial and sometimes it can be detrimental. And it was really, it was eye-opening. It was a cool talk.
The importance of lists, checklists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that was something that was emphasized pretty hard at this conference.
I think because it's so heavy in flight medicine.
Yeah, everyone uses lists in flight.
Like, you die if you don't use lists.
Like, hardcore. And I think that there absolutely is room for it. This is us coming from, like, on ground. Lists are not nearly as common. I have seen lists hinder performance as well, though. I think that sometimes
you need... It just depends what the list is for.
Yes. I think that sometimes you need to get things done and don't not, like, ventilate your patient because you're waiting on a list, you know?
Oh, well, yeah.
But I also think that she pointed out, like, the science of how it, like, breaks the habit and it makes you, like...
It was wild. She talked a lot about rats.
It was very cool.
The best way possible.
A lot about rats.
Yeah. That was cool. Chocolate milk.
Yeah. They love chocolate milk.
They
and so
love
do we.
Chocolate milk.
And if y'all don't know, Flight Nurse Shay co-hosts the podcast Runways and Roadways. So if you don't already listen to that, go ahead and take a listen. You will not be disappointed.
And we were so lucky to get to record an episode with Shay, Jimmy, and Ashlyn while we were there.
Absolutely.
So super fun. Coming out soon.
Boomhauer.
Yeah, he talked about like what resilience actually means. And it's just, it's not actually, like we view resilience as you're just tough and people can life can keep throwing rocks at you and you won't have any dents, but that's just not true.
So. Yeah, and he delineated between resistance and resilience and that you start out resistant and that is like a very intentional way to make it through hard things, but you fall back on resilience.
Yeah.
And so like once you're to the point where like you're needing to be resilient, you're actually already made it all the way through your first line of defense.
He's talking about how resilience is actually a skill set, not like a personality trait.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
You can
and
teach
this
resilience.
Was James Boomhauer, and he runs Fit for Duty. And then last but certainly not least is Eric Bauer.
Our leader.
The Eric Bauer.
The leader, who's the CEO of FlightBridge Ed.
And he did his famous vent jujitsu talk, which
you can take on their website.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very cool. Very cool. Vent management is something that you literally cannot go through enough, especially if you're not in like a critical care capacity.
Yeah.
Like if you're not doing that constantly every
day,
it's something that you need to review pretty frequently. Well, guys, that is our experience at Fast 25. We had a blast. We learned more than we can remember at the moment and are just really grateful that we were able to learn from the just echelon of speakers that we got to see.
Yeah, and we are so excited because next year Fast 26 is going to be in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and reserve your ticket now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we'll
like
see you there.
$100 cheaper, I think.
Oh, yeah, we will be going back.
You can reserve your ticket for $50. I know that.
Oh, nice.
So, and speaking of Fast, if you are one of our Canadian listeners and live in the Calgary area, or farther, honestly, I am going to be talking at Fast Can in Calgary.
That's
in September.
Awesome.
So please Woo-hoo. Come hang out with me because I'm nervous. But anyway.
Go hang out with Paramedic Soph.
Yeah.
This has been Life and Sirens, produced by three nerds trying to bring you content that you might actually care about.